Repent and believe in the gospel. It's the third time in 4 weeks we've heard that passage, that phrase from Jesus. Repent and believe in the gospel. It was in the gospel reading 4 weeks ago on Sunday. And then this past Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday, when you came forward to get ashes on your forehead, the minister said, repent and believe in the gospel as those ashes were put on your head. And then today, on the first Sunday of Lent, we hear it again, repent and believe in the gospel. On Ash Wednesday, in our homilies, the clergy here, we talked about how starting this weekend, this Sunday, we're going to preach a five-part homily series on the Ten Commandments, covering two commandments for the next five Sundays. And the reason we're doing this is, again, we hear this message, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent means to turn from sin. I can't turn from sin unless I have a good understanding of what sin is. The greater my understanding of the commandments, then I'm able to seek the Lord's will in my life. So today I want to talk about the first two commandments of the Ten Commandments. But before I do that, one quick thing. It's always good to remember, when we speak about the commandments, this principle. All of God's commandments are for my good. They're for my good, because God loves me. When I try to make this point known to young people, something I'll often do is I'll pull out my iPhone and I'll say, help me come up with some commandments for my iPhone so that it does what it is, what it's been created to do, all the cool things that a phone can do. Help me to come up with some thou shall nots and some thou shalls. And so I usually get from the audience, from middle schoolers, they'll say, okay, well, thou shall not put it in water. Thou shall not drop it from heights. Thou shall not put it in the microwave. Thou shall charge it every day. Stuff like that. And then after we get this list of iPhone commandments, I say, okay, those are good. Now imagine if I said to you, how dare you tell me what to do with my iPhone? I don't need your stupid iPhone commandments. If I want to drop my iPhone off of the top of a building, then I'm going to do that. If I want to put my iPhone in a microwave, then I'm going to do that. If I don't put it in water, who are you to tell me otherwise? I don't need your stupid commandments. And I say, if I had that attitude, would that be good for my iPhone? No, Father Park, of course not. The same is true with all the Ten Commandments. God's commandments are for our good. He created me. He knows what I need to thrive and to grow as a human being, to be the person He created me to be. And that's what the Ten Commandments are for. So what we're going to do is, each weekend, is just, again, just go through two commandments a weekend, these first five Sundays of Lent. And as we do this, I'm going to just read through some questions that fall under each of the Ten Commandments. It's like we're going to do a little group examination of conscience, so we all have a deeper understanding of what violates the different commandments. So here we go. First commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me. What are some things I should ask myself when examining my conscience around the first commandment? Have I neglected my prayer to God? Have I taken time every day to spend some time with God in prayer? Have I been careless or willfully distracted in my prayer? Everyone experiences distraction in prayer. It's just part of the human condition. And it's not sinful to be distracted. The sin could creep in when I get distracted and I don't care. And I just stay with the distraction and I forget about the prayer. But if I'm distracted, sorry Lord, I go back to the prayer. That's not sinful. It's to voluntarily let myself be distracted. Have I seriously doubted my faith? Have I put myself in danger of losing my faith through reading questionable material or engaging in superstitious or occult practices like witchcraft or Ouija boards, astrology, etc.? Have I persisted in sin rather than trying to overcome it? We're all sinners, right? But we should have that attitude, that desire, that I want to overcome my sin. I want to fight against the sin. To just go, whatever, doesn't, no big deal. I'm just gonna persist in the sin and I don't really even care. I'm not even gonna try. That itself is a sin. Have I neglected opportunities to learn more about my faith? What a time to be alive. In the history of the Catholic Church, there has been no better time for your average layperson and opportunities to grow in the knowledge of your faith. If you were a peasant in the 8th century in Western Europe, you didn't have a lot of opportunities to grow in the knowledge of your faith. The only people that really kind of came to really know the faith were the priests, were the religious. If you were just an average layperson, a peasant, you were just trying to feed your family every day. And then on Sunday, the bells would ring and you'd go down to town and you'd go to Mass. And then you'd go back home and make sure you try to stay alive. No books, no internet, no podcasts. Think of all the opportunities that we have now to learn about our faith. Do I take advantage of that? Have I willfully denied the Catholic faith? Have I been involved in false or pagan worship? Have I committed the sin of apostasy? Have I intentionally left the Catholic Church? Have I received a sacrament, Holy Communion, confirmation, or marriage in the state of mortal sin? Remember, if I've committed a mortal sin, I shouldn't receive the sacraments until I've gone to confession. Confession's the sacrament I need if I fall into mortal sin. Was I married by a justice of the peace or in another Christian denomination without dispensation? Did I get married outside of the church? Have I despaired of God's grace or mercy? Despairing of God's mercy is... it's one of the worst sins we can commit. Why so? Because when I despair of God's mercy, it says, it's like, God, you can't forgive me. I've committed some sin and there's no way God can forgive me. And why is that so bad? Because the only sin that God cannot forgive is the sin I refuse to bring to Him. Because the truth is, God can forgive every sin. God wants to forgive me, but I have to bring it to Him in confidence and humility. Have I committed a sin of presumption? Just committed a sin with the idea that I could then just go to confession? Have I desecrated the Holy Eucharist? Now, I'm guessing nobody here is stealing the Eucharist to take it home and do bad things with, but how do I receive Holy Communion? Am I attentive? Am I reverent as I come forward to receive this oh-so-incredible gift? Am I at awe at the gift I receive in Holy Communion? And then the classic question for the first commandment, have I substituted the gods of money, prestige, pleasure, etc. for the true God? The fundamental way we violate the first commandment is when we put something else in our life above our relationship with God. If you had to sum up what the first commandment is calling us to do, it's that God has to be number one. God must be number one in our lives. That nothing, even the good things of life, family, friends, career, hobbies, nothing can I put above God. And if I do that, I create a false God. God has to be number one. God is meant to be the first person, the first thing I think about when I wake up in the morning. He's the last thing I think about before I go to sleep at night. Nothing is more important than my relationship with God. That's what the first commandment is getting at. And that's why it's first, because it's so essential. If I can strive to keep God at the center of everything, it's going to help me keep all the other commandments. Second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Questions to ask ourselves. Have I spoken the name of God in a disrespectful way? Or Jesus, Mary, the saints? Remember, the name of Jesus, the Bible teaches us? It's the name above all names. It's the most powerful name ever. The scriptures say in Acts chapter 4, says, there is no other name given to man by which we might be saved. It's the name that saves. The catechism says that the name of Jesus itself is a prayer. Just speaking the name Jesus in faith makes Jesus present. That's why to use the name of God, to use Jesus' name in vain, it's like an anti-prayer. And it hurts me and it hurts my relationship with God. Have I used profanity or taken a false oath? Now, when it comes to profanity, in every culture, in every language, we all know there is a certain set of words that that culture considers to be profane or cuss words. We're English speakers. We know what those lists of words are. And even amidst, you know, cuss words, there's even like a hierarchy of words where some are like even worse than others. And so, is it always a sin to use one of those words? I mean, not necessarily. There could be a circumstance, you know, among adults where you need to use one of those words to make a point or express something. That's possible. But obviously, what the commandment is getting at is just being lackadaisical and just using bad language and just not even caring. That's what it's getting at. And we know that too, like using bad language can often be a habit for people. And it's just not good. Last thing, blasphemy. Have I committed the sin of blasphemy? Have I spoken words of hatred, reproach, or defiance towards God, or spoken ill of God and the church? If you had to sum up the second commandment, what is it the heart of the second commandment? Do I glorify God in my speech? Do I glorify God in my speech? God has given us a voice, and our voice is meant to praise Him, to honor Him, to worship Him, to speak love, to speak truth. And when we use cuss words, when we take the Lord's name in vain, when we blaspheme, it disrespects God. It disrespects the voice I've been given that's meant to be used to praise Him. What's the first commandment all about? It's God has to be number one. He's meant to be the center of my life. Second commandment, Lord, may I always glorify you in my speech. So what we're going to do is, in this homily series, just to end on every Sunday, we've done a little group examination. So we're going to do a little group act of contrition. So just to close, we're going to pray an act of contrition. We'll pray the traditional one. If you don't know it, it's on page 1049 in the hymnal, way in the back, 1049 on the bottom. And just a way for us to just, again, pray that prayer of contrition, recognizing, again, we're all sinners, but God wants to forgive us when we come to Him in humility and contrition. And so for the times that we have failed to keep the first and second commandment, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh my God, I am heartfully sorry for having offended you. I detest all my sins because of your just punishments, but most of all because they offend you, my God, who are all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve with the help of your grace to sin no more and to avoid the near occasions of sin. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.